where do we go from last year in terms of the economy? How do we keep building upon setting the conditions for a sustainable growing economy? It's going to be, once again, a hot topic, just like it should be.
The General Assembly would have to approve any settlement that comes out of the mediation that's been going on over the 2011 overhaul of the pension system. Are there any cuts to that pension overhaul that would be acceptable to you?
There's always different ways to do things, but it's got to be, the discussions have to be in the context of a lot of education process went through, a lot of studies were done to make sure that the whatever is done is going to create a viable, protected, as best we could, system for those people that when their pensioners need that pension and have little options to go and replace that income, as well as the ramifications on the state budget, because that money should be available to continually make investments. We saved $250 million, for instance, this year. That's money that's available for not only to have to forestall further a larger structural deficit, but also able to make investments. We were able to put investments into public education, into public higher education. Could we have done that if we not tackled pension reform? I don't think we could have.
What's your bottom line on what changes to the overhaul you would consider unacceptable?
Well, I don't want to speculate on that. I want to wait. I know that's the process. They've gone through mediation. I'm taking a wait and see attitude, and I don't want to shape the discussion by saying what or what I will or won't accept. We'll have conversations on it, and everyone keeps in the signal. We don't know when something may descend upon us, and that's in and of itself has me a little worried that you don't know. We're opening up with a $140 million budgetary deficit. I mean, there are needs out there we know for investment, and one of the contexts is what does any potential settlement cost the state?
Lawmakers will be asked in 2014 to approve $12.5 million for paying back 38 Studios investors, up from $2.5 million in 2013. House Minority Leader Brian Newberry argues that it would be less costly to not pay back the 38 Studios investors than to pay them back. How do you respond?
Well, I'm open to that discussion. I mean, I've tried to not signal either way because I can make an argument in terms of moral obligations not the same as full faith and credit. I can make the same another argument that when you have a debt, you should pay in terms of credit worthiness. But I think that lends itself to a discussion. We're going to have a discussion on that.
On 38 Studios, some people, including State Senator Dawson Hodgson, say there should be an independent investigation to look at how this deal came together, and that despite the efforts of the House Oversight Committee, lawmakers really can't police themselves. Would you support an independent investigation?
Well, not at this point. I think we right now have the lawsuit going. Let's let that work itself out. Obviously, again, because you're asking the question, I mean, you want to mitigate in terms of what the state has to pay. It's trying to recoup as much money as they can. So I don't want, and I've said it repeatedly, I don't want to get away of the lawsuit that's going, because I think collecting the as much resource as we can, again, to soften any blow to the taxpayer is ultimately important. We have made changes to the cancel the loan guarantee program. We've redone EDC. There's much more transparency, reporting requirements. For instance, the historic tax credit, we've imposed caps on certain programs. So a lot of it's been done to make sure that the public interest going forward is protected.
The state faces a deficit for the fiscal year starting July 1st of more than $100 million. What are your thoughts on how that deficit should be eliminated?
We're going to see. I mean, I know that we the structural deficit is that we continue to spend as a state more than we take in revenue. So we try to grow revenue as much as possible. But I think that we've got to be careful, because I think that we have to have a discussion about how do we continually make investments like in education, like in infrastructure, roads and bridges, hospitals and healthcare systems, because that's the kind of stuff that not only makes for a better quality of life, but leads to a stronger economy as well. So that's the conundrum we find ourselves in. How do you have the resources to make the necessary investments while you continually operate with structural deficits? I'm not prepared at this point to say, let's start raising taxes, but I think we're going to have a discussion on taxes anyway. Healthy discussions, and that'll be the starting point. But I'm trying to really not look like, and as people accuse me of being top-down management, really letting the men and women of this house talk about things before I say, this is what you ought to do. I'm not afraid to do that, but I think at first we're going to have some serious conversations.
Voters in Exeter rejected a move to recall four town councilors there over a gun-related issue. How do you expect that to influence lawmakers in the House on gun-related legislation, if at all?
Well, you mean it could have an effect either way. I know some people read into the fact, well, it failed, so therefore it means that the voters out there support more gun reform. And I think there's a certain element of that. You'll have certain folks that may look at it as like, oh, my God, if I vote for that, the Second Amendment folks will come after me. And that's not healthy. It's, I mean, that's why anytime you have people being decided in public office that one issue will take you out is not good on any issue, whether it's guns or economic policy or anything. It's probably not a good way for representational democracy to thrive and flourish. It is the national needs to be where this is really discussed. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. So state by state, we'll continue and I'll continue to advocate with the context of a membership that has a strong Second Amendment bent to a lot of these representatives. My job is to make sure, as the leader of this, is how do you do as much as you can within the context of keeping a working majority? And that guns are a volatile issue.
Voters in businesses in the East Bay were very upset in 2013 by the addition of a 10-cent toll on the Saconnet River Bridge. What move do you support going forward in terms of that issue and funding maintenance for the state's bridges?
People in Rhode Island don't like to pay tolls, but they like good bridges and safe and good roads and have a right to that. So that's the issue. How do you pay for something if you're not going to do tolls? I mean, I supported that 10-cent toll, which people said were politically expedient. If it was politically expedient, I'd say no toll and say, let the bridge worry about the bridge 20 years ago like they did last time with the last bridge. But here we have a bridge that fell down probably 20, 30, 40 years before it should have, and you're paying for a more expensive bridge. I think the ultimate answer is to find a way to fund roads and bridges on an ongoing maintenance basis without doing tolls, but whether we can do that. And that's why I supported the 10-cent toll, because the strange notion in federal regulation that if you don't have a toll when you accept ownership of the bridge, you can never put a toll on it. So it was to keep the 10-cent toll, was to keep at least you could have an open discussion without taking that off the table, if you will. There is a commission working, and we'll hear their report first. I don't want to jaundice their work because it is still working. And that's going to be one of those issues that we'll tackle as well.
Do you plan to seek re-election in 2014?
At this point, I plan to seek re-election in 2014.
And if, assuming you're re-elected, do you intend to seek another term as Speaker?
Yes. Well, yes.
Something you
know, because I was like, why would I seek re-election and not seek Speaker? But that may come across as arrogant. I'm not arrogant, but I mean, obviously, I mean, again, I would seek re-election to my seat and as Speaker, and ultimately it's up to the representatives if they want me to be Speaker again, but it would be my intention to seek re-election for Speaker.
We're all excited about a dramatic race for governor in 2014. Looks like we could have a two, possibly three-way Democratic primary. Do you expect the state Democratic Party to make an endorsement in the primary?
I would think so. I mean, I think it was the York White House race. I think they did not make an endorsement. I think parties exist to endorse is one of the functions of a party. Why have a party if you don't endorse? I mean, there's discussions back and forth on that. I personally not committed to any gubernatorial candidate. It's well documented. I'm personal friends with Angel, personal friends with Gina. I met Clay Pell. I like him. I don't know him as well. Having great candidates is good for democracy.
Voter ID has been a contentious issue in Rhode Island. Would you support repealing the state's voter ID law?
I would support repealing it. Whether we can get there, I'm not sure this session. I mean, we know that the photo ID portion of it, because it was staged, comes into effect, the more stringent control, if you will. I'd like to see a minimum, a step of at least freezing it where it is and see how far we can go.
In the past, you've described payday lending as a valid tool for people without other alternatives. People on the other side of the issue argue that there are other alternatives. Has your thinking on payday lending changed at all?
I won't use the word valid anymore. I can understand the need for someone to go get a payday loan, I will say. I mean, is it a type of a loan that I would prefer anybody in this state to get? Absolutely not. I would prefer that folks all had wonderful credit, would have wonderful paying jobs, that they could pay for appliances and whatnot as they go forward, that you'd never have a need that someone pays a higher interest or has more stringent payback terms than anybody else. It's a fact of life for those loans. I mean, I have consistently held that I think there can be a middle ground on these, on both sides of this equation. It's been frustrating. There's been no movement. It's one side's repeal, one side make minimal changes, if at all. Other states have dealt with it. I looked at Colorado, and they've done some stuff where they've been able to pass some stuff. So I'm going to be looking at what they passed. But I think there's room to be able to, as better forms different forms of lending are available. Again, back to my folks, I don't want someone that has an emergency situation not to have an access to capital, but I don't want anybody to be taken advantage of either. And if there's a way that we can reach both those conclusions and satisfy that, that's where I'd like to be.
House Speaker Gordon Fox, thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you. You're most welcome.